Okay, so we're going to have a quiz now. We haven't had a quiz for a long time, and so we're going to have a quiz. And so this is a character, a Bible character. We're looking to find out who it is. So when you know the answer, just stand up, and we'll carry on down through the clues, and maybe we'll learn something along the way. Who knows? He lived around 750 and 800 years before Jesus. Was a sheep farmer who also grew figs. Became a prophet. Lived during the time of two other prophets, Hosea and Isaiah. Had a Bible book named after him. Lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. But preached in the northern kingdom of Israel. Well, Uzziah was king of Judah. And Jeroboam was king of Israel. The Bible book has 9 chapters. He wrote about social justice, God's power, judgment, and eventual restoration. He lived in a time of relative peace and prosperity. But when God's law was being neglected, did I read that right? Yes. I should have added that onto the previous one. My name is Amos. Thank you. We get there in the end, don't we, Jan? Amos. So Amos is the subject of our service this morning. Small book of Amos, 9 chapters long. And we see our Bible book slide, and we see where it is, what we've looked at so far. So the coloured in ones of the Bible books we've looked at. So we started Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Went through the other history ones there, and the poetry ones we've done. And now we're into the prophets. So we did Jonah last time I was speaking, and now today we're with Amos. So we're going to get a timeline next. And just to try and put it in a time context of the history of the world. And you can see the green section in the middle was when King Saul was king, King David and King Solomon. And so we moved on from there where Jeroboam, and we have the two kingdoms split in, where the one kingdom split in into two. And the dates for Amos are 760, 750 BC. So around that time, if you look at the top of the screen, the first Olympics happened. So I don't know if Amos was anything to do with that or not. But that's an interesting little statistic there, isn't it? Jonah was around just a little bit before Amos. So we've talked about Jonah. We're trying to do this in chronological order and not the order that's there in the Bible. So that's our timeline. And we're also going to have a map now on the screen. And so I also want to, as usual, set out the room as a map. So this is the north, that is the south, that is the east, and this has to be the west. The Mediterranean Sea is over here, so it's the same as you're looking on the map. Amos, where did he live? Judah. Judah was north or south? Judah's down this end of the room on the map. Judah's in the south. And Amos did 3 things. What 3 things did Amos do? Farm sheep, figs, and he's a prophet. Yes, thank you. So he had three jobs, it would seem. And he lived just south of Jerusalem, Teoka, Tekoa. Tekoa lives just south of Jerusalem, was where Amos came from. But he went up to the north to Israel to prophesy, and He said some interesting things. So he kind of went in a big circle around Israel. And he started at the north and he said, "You people of Damascus, you are really bad and God is going to punish you." And then he went round and he said, "The people of over there in Tyre, you're just as bad you are. God is going to punish you too." I just want to read to you Amos chapter 1, 9 and 10. Is what he said about Tyre. "This is what the Lord says. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves to Edom. And so I will send down fires on the walls of Tyre, and all its fortresses will be destroyed." And so Amos says similar words to various places. So he started in the north, he goes over there, and then he said to the people of Gaza, over there in the west, the sort of Philistine country, "You are God-hating people, and God will punish you." And then he goes to the south. He says, you people of Edom, you're no better. You're despicable people, and God is going to punish you too. And the people of the Moab in the southeast, diabolical people, just really bad. And over in the east, the people of Ammon, contemptible people, God is going to punish you. And so Amos was up here in Israel, near Samaria, saying these things. And all these nations around, these peoples that he proclaimed judgment on, they're all Israel's enemies. And so the people in Samaria were saying, yes, go Amos, because we don't like these people. They're our enemies. Get rid of them. Sort them out. Let's have some more. And so Amos kept prophesying, and he said, you know what? Even you people in Judah, his own country, you're not good. God is going to punish you too. Well, that was getting a bit more close to home, but the people in Israel tended to think they were better than the people in Judah anyway. I don't know if that rings sort of a bit of resonance with anybody. You know, we tend to think we're kind of better than the other ones. And but what do you think happened next? Who did Amos speak about next? Israel. He said, and you people in Israel, here, right here in Samaria, you are no better. God is going to punish you too. And so this is really Old Testament theology. And in those days, God used one bad nation to punish another, it seemed. But fortunately, we live in New Testament times. Sin still has its consequences. We still suffer, and bad things may happen to us because we're part of a fallen world. But that's not God's direct judgment on us. It's just because we're living in a fallen world more so than what we see in Amos here. Well, Amos spoke these words 2,770 years ago, roughly. And what's it got to do with us today? You know, it was a long old time ago. But what's the application for us today, do you think?
Why
there
are sheep and goat nations?
Sorry? There are
sheep and goat nations that are...
As in...
Yeah.
Practicing. So can we...
Yeah? It shows us how seriously God takes sin.
Yeah. Sin is serious in God's eyes. Yeah. What about some sort of more personal applications?
The nation was at peace and was prosperous. And that doesn't mean you're all right with God.
Mm.
And that's the same for individuals as well as nations. Isn't it?
Mm.
You might well be flourishing, you might have all you need. And that doesn't mean you're right with God.
Yeah. And so these people that Amos was talking to, you know, he went all around the world, it seemed, and then he come back and he said, you guys right here. And so for us, we need to be applying this to ourselves. You know, what about our sin? What you know, that is going to keep us out of heaven. But fortunately, we're not in Old Testament times. When we have Jesus, we can thank for taking the punishment of our sin when he died on the cross. Heaven cannot take sin, so we cannot go to heaven with our sin. We need to give it to Jesus to be forgiven and then turn our backs on those sinful things that we tend to do. So our hope is in Jesus. And we've got a lot to thank God for in Jesus. And now Juliet's going to sing us a song. And Jesus is not just about forgiving our sins. He's here for our lives. He's here for everything that we get involved about. And so this song perhaps reflects a bit of that. Thank you, Jude.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning, in the morning when I rise, to die. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me
So I'd like to do a couple of readings. Our first reading is Amos 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the entire family I rescued from Egypt. From among all the families on earth, I have been intimate with you alone. That is why I must punish you for all your sins." And so just briefly, Amos is using the word "the people of Israel" there. We can't quite see it now. Second line down, "O people of Israel." He's using that as the name of a person and not the nation of Israel. So if we remember, Jacob had his name changed to Israel. So Amos is referring to Jacob here and his family, who he rescued out of Egypt. And obviously, by the time they came out of Egypt, there was a huge, great family of a nation. But with that word Israel is often used in different ways. So it's just a case of understanding the context a little bit there. So who's doing the next reading? Logan, thank you.
"Do two people walk together? When it hasn't caught anything, does a bird fly down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a net spring up from the ground when it has not caught anything? When someone blows a trumpet in a city, don't the people tremble with fear? When the trouble comes to a city, hasn't the Lord caused it? The Lord and King never does anything without telling his servants, the prophet, about it."
Thank you, Logan. So, saying there, can two people walk together without agreeing a direction? And so I think what Amos is trying to say here, along with those other little phrases, a bird gets caught because there is bait in a trap. You know, there is reasons why things are happening. There's reasons why this punishment is coming on these nations around, on Judah and Israel as well. You know, and he finishes up by saying, you know, God uses his prophets to tell the people about these things. Tell them the reasons why this is going wrong. What is the problem? What's going on? And so we see that the people have sinned and therefore punishment is coming to put them right, because God loves them enough to show them that they are wrong and he wants them to go right. And so that, I think, is what Amos is trying to say in these first few verses. There's a reason for these things happening. We have to suss out that reason. And the reason here is because the people are sinful. And so we've got to, roughly in my Bible, the middle of the Bible, just past perhaps. But I want to just recap on the Bible story that we've done so far. And I'll do it with a walk through the Bible hand sign. So you may like to try and do it with me, and then we'll do a quick run through. So we'll go through the story first. It all began with the creation of the world. And God declared that it was good. Adam and Eve ate from the tree and fall away from perfection. Sometime later, God sent a flood to wash the world clean and start again. The people tried to build a tower, but instead got spread out into nations. God made a promise to Abraham that he would have as many descendants as there were stars in the sky. Isaac is the first descendant. His name means laughter. Isaac had a son called Jacob who had 12 sons and wrestled with God. Joseph is Jacob's favorite son. He's given an extravagant multicolored coat. Over 400 years later in Egypt, Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery. To celebrate God saving them, the Israelites have a festival called Passover. On a journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, God gave his people the law. He also gave them instructions to make a tabernacle. At the tabernacle, God's people gave offerings to say sorry and had feasts to be thankful. Moses spent time counting the people, and he sent 12 people who were spying out the land. The people decided that it was too difficult, so they had to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness over there in the east. Well, the older generation were dying out. For the second time, Moses taught the law to a new generation. That's Deuteronomy. Moses passed away then, and Joshua led the people into the promised land. They went into the land to divide the land and to conquer it, one city at a time. Each of the 12 tribes received their own patch of land, and Joshua died when there was no leader. Joshua died, there was no leader, so judges came and ruled the land. We have a cycle of the judges there. I'm actually on a bike cycling, if you didn't realize that. Deborah held court under a palm tree, and the smallest from the least from the smallest tribe is Gideon, who formed a miracle through his fleece. Another judge was called Samson. His strength was in his hair. However, he was a bit foolish. During the time of the judges, there was a loving lady called Ruth. She was loyal and followed her mother-in-law to Bethlehem. Samuel heard from God, and people went to him for guidance. The people wanted a king, and Israel became a united kingdom. Saul was the first king, and he had no heart for God. David became the second king, and he had a whole heart for God. Next was David's son Solomon, and he started well, but in the second half of his heart always grows away from God. Second half of his life, his heart grows away from God. After Solomon, Israel becomes a divided kingdom, and mostly bad kings rule throughout the land. God sends prophets to speak to his people. And so Amos was one of those prophets. And so how about everybody who's keen, stand up, and we'll try and do all these together quickly without the narrative in between. So we go, creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings and feasts, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law. Joshua, divide and conquer. 12 tribes. Who we got to? Judges. Deborah, Gideon, Samson, loving Ruth. Samuel, united kingdom. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half heart. Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Well done. Excellent. So, the prophet speaks. So, shall we have our next reading? Amos chapter 8, 1 to 6, please. And is that Isla? We'll come and hear some of what the prophets are saying. Some of what Amos is saying, indeed. You want to go up a bit? All right.
Then the Sovereign Lord showed me another vision. In it I saw a basket filled with ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? He asked. I replied, a basket full of ripe fruit. Then the Lord said, like this fruit, Israel ripe from punishment. I will not delay their punishment again. In that day the singing in the temple turned to wailing. Dead bodies will be scattered everywhere. They will be carried out of the city in silence. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end, so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyer with dishonest scales, and you mix the grain you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Sworn this oath, but his own name...
Yeah, I believe that's enough. Thank you. All right, so that's a flavour of what Amos was speaking about. He was saying, you know, you're really corrupt. You're pressing down on the poor. You're not treating others as you should do. As we said earlier, Amos, a bit of a part-time prophet, we could describe him as, but a full-time believer in God, I'm sure. And so for us too, we may be a part-time prophet, we could suggest, but we need to be full-time Christians every day of the week, every moment of each day. We need to have our faith. So our next hymn kind of says this in a way, 178, "Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing." So this is things we can do. We can go forth and tell. We can be a prophet like Amos. Excellent. Can we have our next reading, please, Aston? Amos 9, verses 11 to 15.
"In that day I will rise up, the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declare the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treaders of grapes him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweat wine, and all the hills shall float with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of this land that I have given them, says the Lord your God."
Thank you, Aston. And so we see now that this is turned away from punishment and towards hope. Amos is speaking hope. He's not carrying on with the doom and gloom all the time. He has given the people hope. And Amos refers to King David in this, and he says about his fallen house being restored. And so he's prophesying a long time forward now. He's prophesied about the punishment, but he's saying actually it's going to be restored one day. And James actually quotes from this passage in the book of Acts 15, verses 16 and 17 in the New Testament. And he quotes these verses and he uses them as evidence that the Gentiles, that means anybody who's not a Jew, so us lot, I imagine, we're all welcome to be people of God, you know. And in the Old Testament, you kind of had to be Jewish or follow the law of Moses to be a people of God, a person of God. But in the New Testament, James is saying, now anybody can become a person of God, and you can follow God through belief in the Lord Jesus. And Paul is telling us later that we are saved through faith or belief in God alone, not by what we do, not by following the law of Moses, but by believing in Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us. So we can see in the book of Romans 6:14 that sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And so it's important as we read these prophetical books that we understand the context there. And they're in Old Testament times, but we're in New Testament. And there's a very different emphasis of what we do. That verse is saying we no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, we live under the freedom of God's grace. And so we see this prophecy by Amos about the future hope being fulfilled in three ways. We can see, first of all, we look forward and we know about the people coming back from their captivity in Babylon over there in the east. They were taken away. Wicked nations took them away, and then they come back 70 years later. So that's the first fulfillment of this prophecy. And then David's house, as we read, is rebuilt. And we also see that being fulfilled with Jesus, the Messiah. We see that Jesus, he took our punishment. And so therefore, he gave us the freedom of God's grace. He gave us his perfection in exchange for our sin. And so again, we see this wonderful Messiah has come to save us, not just the land of Israel, but to everybody who turns to him. And we see a fulfillment of it is yet to come. And this is Jesus coming back in the future and sitting on the throne of King David forever. And so these books of the prophets can be hard to read. They can be a bit repetitive in their, you know, God is going to punish these people for doing this and all that sort of thing. It takes a bit of perseverance to get through. But let's not give up. Let's keep on reading. Let's keep on applying it to ourselves. Looking, how can I apply this to myself? What can I learn from the way God works? And how should I be changing my lifestyle as well? And so we have about 15 more books of the prophets to get through. It's going to take a while. We've only just done two of them, so there's 15 more. But I'm sure God is going to reward us as we look into these books. A lot of minor prophets, a few bigger ones. That's Isaiah, Jeremiah, possibly Ezekiel. I'm not sure if he's a major or minor, but there's lots to be looking at. But they're in the Bible for a reason. God has put them there for our education, for our teaching, for our benefit, and so we can learn so much about God through them. So we carry on doing that. The next time I speak, we'll be doing another one. So I'd like to just sing a quick song now, and then we'll have a time of prayer.